Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Saida Hafiz, and we are talking about her new book called The Healing, One Woman's Journey from Poverty to Inner Riches. In this memoir of upward mobility through an unexpected route, a young Black American woman signs up for lessons in yoga and clean eating as signifiers of her new middle-class status, little realizing that her new lifestyle will bring her face-to-face with the inner demons fed by the domestic violence, addiction, and poverty she witnessed as a child. For more information, you can visit Saida's website, which is www.saidahafiz.com, and that's SAEEDAHAFIZ.com, and I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Saida to the show. Good day.
Thank you for having me, Bob. This is great.
Well, it's my pleasure. And, you know, whenever I have someone who does a memoir who really gets into the nitty-gritty, to me, it's a real sign of strength. You know, I mean, I really have to give kudos to people who do that, put their life right out there for everybody to examine and to comment on. So with The Healing, what inspired you to write this book?
Well, basically for me, what I wanted to do initially was just do a how-to, and It took me on this journey of really talking about my story and what happened to me. People would ask me questions about how did I get into yoga, how did I get into healthy holistic eating, and I found myself telling the stories about my past and what happened to me that kind of unearthed my experiences of what I would call like a PTSD. And so I started to do this work around holistic eating and yoga that just really brought me closer and deeper within myself. And the book, in terms of this particular memoir form, really is dedicated to my nieces and my nephews. The inscription that I write for this is so that they could understand our past. And if you don't mind, I can read that inscription that might relate to your listeners as well. To my family, as an inspiration and an acknowledgement of our struggles and how important it is to heal. To my nieces and nephews and their children, who might wish to understand some of the details behind our family story. And, you know, some of my siblings have been weaving in and out of their children's lives. And I just kept thinking that maybe those children, my nieces and nephews and grandnieces and nephews, maybe they're going to want to understand where we come from and why some of this stuff has happened. And so that's what inspired me to really to bring this book into form. And lastly, what I'll say about that is you talked about the strength in which it takes to face your truth. Some things are pleasant, some are not. But what I was learning as I moved forward with yoga and holistic eating, beginning to write it down, make meaning and understand it and wrestle with the past experiences, writing of this book was another part of my healing and being able to share it in an authentic and honest way with others.
Yeah, that's it's real important, it seems, in the the healing process to put it towards whether or not you publish or not. You know, there's a lot of comfort and understanding that can come through writing it, and the idea of passing it on or putting it into words so that your nieces and nephews and basically the generations to come will have an understanding. It just seems so important that, because there are so many times children will witness, behaviors or certain types of actions that just don't make sense. And, if they can at least have an understanding of it, then there's a good chance that a cycle will end, that any of the destructive types of cycles that get passed on generationally can be stopped, and it seems like that would be one of the benefits of your nieces and grandnieces and nephews of knowing what was involved in what they saw.
I agree. And one of the things that I like that's on the back of the book is sort of this bold lettering around breaking the cycle of poverty and violence through radical self-care. And at the time, I didn't know it was radical. I was just trying to answer the question, how do I really begin to live a good life? And me going off sugar for 3 days and cooking all my meals from scratch and not eating any processed foods really, I guess, is considered pretty radical. And that's what started to happen for me. Once I did this 3-day test, I found myself just so emotionally crying spontaneously and having these flashbacks mm-hmm. about the violence in my family. But then also still feeling the fortitude that I needed to push through this to get to the other side.
Yeah. It's amazing what that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but it's amazing what that can do. So now, how long did it take you to put this memoir together?
Okay, so as I said before, the initial concept was to do a basic how-to calendar, give you a yoga posture of food that relates to the season, and start to have folks become aligned within the season with their bodies through movement and food. And then over time, and that was probably 20 years ago, that particular idea. But I have to say the intense real writing of this story started in 2010, and I finished around 2014, and from there was able to connect to a publisher to have this book come out in its second edition at this point. So the first edition I had put a few copies together myself as a self-published work. Which was good too. But then, and that's what's happening in the publishing industry these days. It seems like you have to have a product first, and then they kind of look at what, right, blood, sweat, and tears you're putting into it, and then they go, oh, well, we feel that we can take it perhaps to the next level, and then they, we form a partnership to go forward there, But yeah, so it's just been really kind of nice to have Parallax Press, very spiritually motivated press through Thich Nhat Hanh. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the pretty famous Buddhist Thich Nhat Hanh. And anyway, to have them select this book as something that they feel will help eliminate suffering on that individual basis as each person kind of wrestles with themselves and make meaning of their lives and decide to put things in an order that best contributes to themselves as well as the world. I was quite honored to be selected.
Yeah, it's good to be able to take it to that level, and you're right about the publishing world is just kind of crazy now, you know, with self-publishing and how it interacts with, you know, traditional publishing. Now, one of the, I think, most difficult areas when it comes to writing a memoir is talking about people who are a part of the story. And I noted in your book that you, of course, change names and that kind of thing to respect privacy. But one of the things that I found was interesting was the reaction of your parents. You know, so would you mind sharing with the listeners what you thought their reaction was going to be like, and then what was their reaction?
Yes, and I will link it from what we were just talking about, how long it took me to write it. So when I put pen to paper in 2010 and came out with a product that I felt was pretty solid, there was a time period where I was just stuck. Like I couldn't get any motion on getting this into print and putting this out there into the world. And so I just was in this sort of meditative day state about like what, why can I just move forward with this? I've invested the time, I've invested the money. You know, sharpened my skill sets with the writing. And as I sat sort of in a meditative state, the answer that came to me was, well, now you have to send this to your family. You have to send it to your parents. And so I started them off with the first 80 pages and thought, okay, my expectation was that I was giving them a courtesy. I said, I'm planning to go to print with this. I want you to know what I'm writing or what I've written, and we'll go from there. And I expected for them to just sort of be like, well, either in denial or say that I was crazy or just a number of things. They're not wanting to talk to me, and because when I've shifted some things in the past before, I've had similar those kind of reactions. So anyway, I sent it to them. They read it, and my dad came back with a statement of, "Well, I just wasn't the kind of man I wanted to be," and that really did floor me because I thought that he was going to have a lot of like rebuttals or just sort of things of like, "Oh, it wasn't that way." He did not deny it at all. And he just said that he, being, you know, mixed in the bar business and just sort of the choices that he has made along the way, that what he could stand by was he wasn't the man that he wanted to be. And I have to tell you, on the phone, even before he said that, when we connected, he said, "Oh man, it's really great to talk with you, and I'm so proud of what you wrote." And I was like, "Really?" You know? And then, you know, it was shocking. And in fact, one of my closest friends, I was telling her this story, and I said, "Can you believe this is what my dad said?" And she said, "How could he say that when he's the villain and he shows up on page one?" And, you know, we kind of just laughed at it. And I said, yeah, it's really kind of fascinating. But that is the other part, too, around my dad, where there's some things that he's done, quite a few things that aren't pretty. But I remember that one of the things is that he always wanted me to be authentic, always wanted me to stand in the space of telling the truth. And there, there's a story within the book, it should be in there. You know, when you go through different editions all the time, you think, did we leave that in or did we? Where me telling the truth could harm him, he still encouraged me to be really honest. And I was a young girl at the time, and so and had to deal with some legal stuff. And it was just very fascinating. So I was surprised, but also that was consistent with part of who he was. So again, I felt encouraged to move forward with this book. And in relationship to my mother, she had said, when I spoke with her, she said, you know, was I that bad? And I responded with, I don't know if you were bad or good. What I'm writing is my experience or my response to what I experienced in the family. And that's where I'm coming from with this memoir. I'm not trying to make anyone right or wrong, that we just had different ways and that I had a reaction to it. And I wanted to really kind of impress upon my mom, as well as the listeners, that your reaction or your response to an experience is your truth, and you're allowed to own that. And that gave me also the ability of, I'm allowed to write down and express my response to what I experienced. So then she said, if this book can help anyone in a similar situation or was in a similar situation, then please do get this book out there far and wide to whomever can use it. So it's been encouraging that way. My older brother, he said, just be as raw as you can. Don't hold back, which was surprising because there's some very detailed stories about him in the memoir. And my younger brother just really said, Mom and Dad needs to know this story and how it has affected us. So for the most part, how my family has responded to me, you know, experiencing my truth.
Right. Right. Well, you know, and now, as of today, you know, it's been, let's see, it was just published, what, last month, I believe, or at least available for sale last month?
It's about 6 weeks old.
Cool.
It's a small baby.
Yeah, I know. I thought so. Yeah, I looked at that. It's like, dang, this is new. So everybody's cool with, you know, with it being out there and you going out there and talking about the story.
They are. From what I understand, it's still that sort of movement and cheering me along. My eldest sister still is a bit estranged from the family. But the thing is that I think just about everyone in this memoir, I have given the opportunity to read and see things ever before it was in a bind, you know, a book form or a printed form. So they had an opportunity to respond to how my vision or how I was experiencing. And some of, like, I'll even say some of the love interest in the book responded with, well, this is just a little too painful for me. But they didn't deny that this is what happened. So. So I feel very okay with.
I mean, it's good. Yeah, you know what I was gonna say was, you know, with your, you know, even if someone, you know, experience isn't, you know, exactly, you know, or very close to yours, some of the cool challenges, parent-child challenges in, you know, in situations, challenging, difficult, you know, childhood situations, they would be able to relate. Like, for example, with your father, you know, recognizing that, you know, who he was isn't who he really wanted to be or who he had hoped to be. I mean, that in itself is an awareness. I mean, to me, it's a wonderful awareness that you know, even though all of this stuff happened, there's a, you know, recognition that it wasn't ideal and it wasn't, you know, he didn't kind of put his best foot forward in those cases. And, you know, and for, you know, parents who have, you know, been not put their best foot forward, you know, it's important for them to, to recognize that, you know, have the awareness, own up to it, you know, and try and, you know, be better from that point forward.
Yes.
Yeah.
In
the case of your mother too, with was I that bad? You know, with my particular mother, she was, you know, she was a very difficult woman, you know, and you know, before her deathbed, she, you know, kind of had that recognition that, you know, she didn't put her best foot forward too, you know, and but she hadn't quite gotten to the point of your father, you know, recognizing it, but just kind of making that question to the point of questioning, you know. I mean, your father had kind of gotten beyond the questioning and acceptance and recognition, but the mother on the, you know, was I that bad, is that's the beginning of awareness, I would say.
Right. I agree with you. And I think in terms of like breaking that cycle that we were talking about, when I, part of this healing, you know, practicing the yoga, eating the holistic clean eating, it gave my body and mind a chance to pause and listen. And in that space of listening also connected me to an adventure, I would say, or an investigation of what was my mom's past really like with her mother? What was my dad's past like with his parents? And I could see that there was this intergenerational trauma and that we needed to go into various layers. And so when I could see where they were victims of victims, that this is how and why my experience with them was kind of the recipe or the environment, the conditions, I guess the word is, that because of their past has set up conditions for me to experience the childhood I experienced. And so when I was able to kind of become much more aware and conscientious, then I could say, wait a second, no, let's stop this. Because I could have also easily just followed the pattern, because that's, I think, often who we are as humans. We end up following the cycle because it is hard to break it.
Yeah, well, that's what we experienced, and that's what we learned, and that, you know, that I mean, we don't know better sometimes, you know, when we're in that particular cycle. And we're about halfway through the show, Saida. So I want to take just a real quick break. And then when we come back, if we have any questions from listeners or in the chat room, if we don't have any, I want to start talking about the yoga aspect, and of course in the your eating habits, let me go ahead and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to talk about that. Okay, great. Everyone stay tuned, we'll be right back after this very brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guest, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. Again, today, my very special guest is Saida Hafiz, and we are talking about her new book, The Healing, One Woman's Journey from Poverty to Inner Riches. And again, you can find out more by visiting Saida's website, which is www.saidahafiz.com. And that's SAEEDAHAFIZ.com. And again, I do have a direct link to that website in the show page description. Okay, so with that, we're back, Saida.
Great. Wonderful.
Okay, so now yoga. I mean, you talked about the yoga and the eating habits. What drew you to starting yoga? I mean, at what time in your life did this come, and how did that fit into the lifestyle that you had at that particular moment?
So I had always had this nagging feeling in my college years that I needed to try something called yoga, but I did not know at all what yoga was. But for some reason, I kept getting this sort of strange feeling that I needed to try yoga. And I knew that the college had classes, but I was never able to sign up for any. And so when I graduated college and got my corporate job, part of my asking what a good life is, I thought that signing up at a health club was part of how you maintained your physical health, but also a way to connect to other businessmen. You know, my vision of them reading the Wall Street Journal on the Stairmaster, and I thought, well, this may be my way. That this might be my way to kind of fit in. But when I joined, I also asked, do you have something called yoga? And they said that they were going to have these yoga classes in about a month. And so I said, well, I'll be back, and that's when I'll join. So when I took the class, there was an interesting experience that happened. It was Sunday morning, 9 a.m. I arrive in the class, and the instructor, you know, kind of explains to us what yoga is and what we'll be doing. And as she was guiding us through the different yoga postures, the physical yoga postures, I could only hold the poses for half the allotted time. So I had to gently come out of the position and kind of wait for the next one. And I kept thinking, oh, this isn't for me. And another strange thing started to happen where I would look around the room and realize that I was the youngest person in the class and I can't do these postures. And then I realized I was the only African American in the class. And so I thought, boy, maybe this really isn't for me. I don't know what I'm doing. And, you know, should I leave right now? Mm-hmm. Kind of thing that was going on in my mind. And so then we got into one particular pose, and it felt easy, or at least I wasn't straining and I could hold for the entire length. At that time, I had heard a voice that said, you'll be teaching this and get closer to your grandfather. So I thought, quite frankly, because I've come from, you know, folks who've had drug problems and this domestic violence, I thought, well, maybe my issue is going to be schizophrenia or something, because this voice was audible. And, you know, and I thought, well, and at that time, you know, I didn't know tons about like metaphysics or self-help or, you know, anything like that. But it didn't feel like an instruction that was destructive. So I held the posture, kind of looked around, and I took it seriously. So I finished that class, and I was still able only to do half, you know, hold the poses for half the length, except for this forward bend. But I thought, well, I'm going to take more classes. in yoga, not just once a week. Like I took once a week for a while, and then I bumped it up to two times a week. And then I also started getting closer to my grandfather. And that was also part of that, learning about his past and understanding what traumatic things happened in his life, as well as some good things too. So I felt sort of led to learn yoga well enough that I could also become a teacher. And so I studied and practiced for several years before I signed up for a teacher training class. And that's how I got into it. And that's also how and why I felt the power of, wow, being still or doing something is really important, that I really needed to follow what was happening here.
Yeah. Well, now, in one of the things I think that may keep people away from doing, you know, doing yoga or you know, yoga exercises, you know, is that idea, that experience that you had in the beginning of, you know, only being able to do, you know, half the time or just having difficulty with some of the poses. So for people out there who feel that they're maybe not flexible enough or would have difficulty with that, what would be your advice or wisdom to them who may feel reluctant?
Well, one of the things is I would say there are a lot of different approaches to practicing physical yoga. So, for instance, there's a Iyengar style that will assist you with doing the pose with perfection of alignment. But they'll use props to get you into it. So you don't feel like your personal body has to bend and fold in a way that it's never done before. So you can use props and get into poses that way. There are some people who are saying, you know, maybe the flow of a yoga class is too slow. So there are some higher energy ones that they can get into. My recommendation has always been, go to different yoga classes, different styles, and see how particular teachers approach their form of yoga. So I wouldn't just go into one class and say, oh, I can't do it. I would really kind of investigate what class actually can fit me, because there's a class out there, trust me, that will fit your personality, your speed, your style. And it's the thing is that yoga itself, as a physical movement, is something we've all done to develop as human beings. So, you know, people will see their babies learning to stand up. They're all doing downward dog to do that. So your body's already been in that position. You know, a six-month-old child will be in the crib lifting its head to be able to lift up. They're doing something called the cobra position. So even if you watch young children develop, we've all been doing yoga all our lives. And that's the nice thing. So that's how we become, you know, upright standing humans, is to move in and out of these postures to develop, you know, from a kid to an adult.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're reminding
absolutely
our body that.
There you go. Yeah, I love watching children go through those motions, those, you know, those poses.
Right.
But I never really made the connection. But, you know, they are, I mean, they are. I mean, that is exactly what they're doing. So, well, you know, I want to talk a little bit about, yeah, yeah. And, you know, what you said, you know, that it, you know, that it brought out or kind of maybe led to some feelings being released and that kind of thing. I mean, it is a very healthy form of release for
okay
individuals. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about your macrobiotic diet, you know, and that clean, healthy eating. But before we do, we do have the caller. His name is Bob, and he's calling from the Whitsunday Islands off the coast of Australia. And okay. Hello, Bob. Good day.
Good day, Robert. You're becoming Australian, mate.
And I know. G'day, go ahead.
Yeah, Saida, I just called in to make a stronger connection with you. It's always nice to come across other beautiful people that have found their authentic self and have done the work to get there. And so, yeah, congratulations, Saida, on a job well done. It's a hard road to travel, eh?
Yes, yeah, thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate your support and comments. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely, well, and I want to say it's a hard road to travel, but I have to impress upon myself and others to not be yourself is even harder. That's why people end up trying to numb themselves, because, you know, to fight against who you really are often does not work.
Well, my life now is awesome ever since I healed the wounds of childhood, the NEPA work, but ever since the day I took total responsibility for everything that happens in my life is absolutely awesome. You know, I create my day, I create my life, and I'm content with me. You know, I'm no saint. I probably smoke too much, drink too much. I exercise about as much as a koala bear, but I'm content with me. You know, and the way I feel is priceless. But the journey getting here was really, really interesting. Anyway, I won't take up any more of your time, and I'll connect with you on Facebook if that's okay with you.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you for calling in.
Okay,
and yeah, and anyone is welcome to connect to my Facebook page. I would love to check in with folks. Thank you.
You're welcome. And then
thanks,
now,
Robert.
Bob, you pay close attention to what we're going to be talking about next, about the eating habits, okay?
Okay. Hey, Robert.
All right. Oops, I'm sorry. There. What were you going to say there, Bob?
My response to that is I would hate to pass through the pearly gates in a perfect body. I want to go through with all four tires flat, every panel broken, all the glass broken, flames coming out from under the bonnet. And as I fall out of the driver's seat, I'm going to shout out, "What a ride!"
What a ride. There you go. You want to let them know that you enjoyed all of the fruits of the earthly plane, correct? Okay. Well, thanks, Bob. So there, and, you know, I think, Saida, Bob kind of expressed, you know, one of the things that you do by printing this memoir is that, you know, you do speak your truth and you really do encourage others, you know, to speak their truth and to recognize and accept and, like Bob said, take full responsibility, you know, for that truth and live, you know, live authentically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So, in addition to yoga as part of your healing journey, also part of that was food. And I understand that you've adopted a macrobiotic life or diet. So can you talk a little bit about tell us about that.
So when I started out, I was really you know, and people are using the concept of clean eating. And macrobiotic means large life. And it's, again, that answer to the question of, you know, basically living a large, which I call colorful life. And the thing that attracted me to the macrobiotic style, first of all, I signed up for a cooking class thinking I was going to get a Julia Child, almost like Martha Stewart-like class where it would be creams and sauces and lamb and all kinds of just very, you know, rich, dynamic cooking. And instead, I got something that was about food as energy or food as medicine. And so I was able to experience that food not only should taste good, it should also support how you want to feel at the end of your meal or how you want to participate in the day. And so the food basically, you know, there's a chart in the book that talks about eating foods that bring sort of that centering, balanced feeling and energy within the body. And then there are foods that are kind of like the polarity, where they may swing from one side to the next. And the way that happens is sometimes there are foods that are very constrictive, that make you feel really tight, and salt is an example of that. And then there's, on the opposite polarity, is sugar or alcohol or drugs. And so those are things that are very expansive. And so the way in which I talk about food is how it's to bring you to the center. So, and then from that aspect, what I was able to do was kind of to overlay the chart of your experiences. So coming from a home of domestic violence and shouting, and where you're kind of, you know, wondering if there's going to be a fight tonight or if there's going to be a surprise or a thump on the wall, all of those things make you feel very contracted. So your body is tensing up. And so then it really made sense that my family members were seeking ways to unwind themselves or to not be so tight. So drugs, alcohol, soft ice cream, and those kind of things, sugar, pulls you to that other side so that you can try to feel normal. But what I was doing was eating foods in the center that allowed me to actually tap into what was making me feel tight in the first place, and those are these flashbacks to the domestic violence. And then what I felt the food, what the food was doing, was also having this vibration in me that allowed me to begin to create healthier cells so that I could actually fix or face this trauma. And that's sort of been this really beautiful thing. And no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, but I haven't heard food really discussed or talked about in that way. I know there's emotional eating, but it doesn't necessarily talk about how your actual cells and body may be feeling something. Science is supporting more and more about your cells having memories of your experiences and the things that happen in life. And so food is a tool that helps you move that needle or that gauge so that you can feel balanced and whole in a particular way.
Yeah. I understand that you're involved in the San Francisco Unified School District. Is that correct? So my question to you is, in the, you know, with young kids nowadays, as old people say, Where does yoga and the, you know, holistic or healthy or clean eating, how do young kids in general, you know, in that particular in the school environment, how do they react to that? I mean, is this something that is a part of the school consideration in some form, and if not, should it be? In your opinion?
Yeah, so what I've done in the school district for around the first 12 years was actually deliver direct service in the classroom with students and have them cook in the classroom fresh fruits and vegetables, and then also do yoga poses in the classroom. And I have to tell you, kids are so welcoming to being engaged in projects and moving their bodies and creating something. And I know that a lot of our education is sit and get, but I love that it's doing more of sit and then get up and move around and create. And so for the first 12 years, I gave direct service and worked with students in that way. And then 2 years, for the following 2 years, I worked with staff on their wellness, but for the whole 14 years, I've always connected to parents and staff to and teachers to to do the same work in their classrooms or with their kids at home. And now I'm in a position where we're starting to do more project-based learning in the classroom so that kids can embrace this wellness movement and begin to lead it.
Oh, that's great, you know, because it's the habits, you know, that are formed, you know, in these school years that really last a lifetime. And if you can get them working and creating good habits, boy, you're going to really empower them later in life.
Yes.
Yep.
That feels like my continued calling.
I think so. So is that next on your agenda, or what do you have planned next?
Well, I'm working for the school district now, which, again, like I feel is really an honor and a privilege to be able to connect and interface with San Francisco Unified School District. At this point, we are supporting and promoting the book to get out there to as many people, you know, that need it, can be inspired or entertained by it. And I feel at this point, you know, I do try to stay in the present moment of things. I'm often asked if am I going to write another book. There's nothing on the horizon as of yet, but people have asked for kind of a companion guide to this memoir with more recipes and yoga postures, so that's a possibility. But I'm going to just kind of keep out there and encouraging the students to lead the way and role model for others as best as I can. That's what's next for me.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, those recipes in the back of the book look very good. I mean, very
tasty.
Good.
And people can go to my website
one.
For more.
Okay.
Oh, that was a good one.
I
and
like
that was
that
a good
one.
Story
I'm,
around it, too. I don't know if
you
know the story about.
Go ahead. I mean, it was the bow tie pasta. Go ahead and tell
the
story. We got
the veggie bow tie pasta, just to give a quick story about it, was I was in the corporate world. I was learning to eat this new way, and when I went on a business trip, I didn't really see anything on the menu. And again, this is in the 90s that fit my current eating style. So I basically asked the server if it was possible to, basically have this pasta dish with just minimal seasoning of garlic and lemon juice with veggies. And they came back and said, okay, we can do it. And my colleagues at the time, and I was so nervous about making waves on a business trip. And to my surprise, my colleagues, once they heard me describe the dish that that I was hoping the chef could make, like three or four other people ordered the same thing. So I don't know if they ever just put it on the menu item. But that's the thing where, you know, our teachers were, my cooking teacher, Deborah Barr, who's still in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, encouraged us just to ask the question. I see that you have this. This doesn't, you know, work 100%. Mm-hmm. Can you do this? And try to be as nice as you can when you ask. Because that's how now brown rice got on the menu at a lot of places. You know, people were asking for more whole grains. And so it's just kind of, I think it's funny and very interesting. So I'm glad you mentioned the recipes in the back.
Yeah. Well, you know, and also I would tend to think that if it's not too out of the way, that a chef or cook would be happy to do that. It would be, you know, it's like, oh, something a little bit different, you know, rather than putting plate after plate, you know, out there, you know. So, well, anyway, I definitely think that, you know, a Healing Foods cookbook, with some of those expanded recipes would be great. That'd be something I'd be interested in for sure. So, I really wanted to thank you, Saida, for your time and your book. You know, it's going to be very helpful for people and who need the healing, you know, who really and don't know how or where to go to start. So,
yeah, and thank you very much. And I have to say, I guess one is I noticed that Amazon has like a 30% sale on the paperback, which is nice. So if people are interested in getting it, they can get it at a discount. But also, I just really want to thank you, Bob, for the fact that you are bringing such a great service to the, I mean, it really bringing inspiration to the earth. I appreciate your service, and it sounds like you're living out your calling as well.
Thank you very much. I very much appreciate that. And I'll also be following you on Facebook, and so we can keep in touch.
Okay, great.
Good.
Looking forward to it.
Me too. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Saida Hafiz, and we have been talking about her new book, The Healing, One Woman's Journey from Poverty to Inner Riches. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is www.saidahafiz.com. And again, there is a direct link to her website in the show page description. And definitely go to Amazon and take advantage of that 30% off before it runs out. So that's a really good deal. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth Show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.